there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
I don't know if this is relevant, but I have to bring it up. On the way here today, I ran into my friend who's a comedian. He goes, what are you doing here? You're doing a podcast, Formula One. He goes, oh, Max Verstappen and Red Bull is my team.
Oh, no.
This is like a friend of mine who knows a lot about Formula One. It's just unbelievable. And this happens as you dive into Formula One. You start to find there's people out there that you didn't know that are way into it.
I don't want to use the term closeted, but there are a lot of hidden Formula One fans, especially in the U.S.
Especially in the U.S.
Where you have no idea. Or it's like the most random people I know. I have a friend who's like... not all into sports, but one of her parents is European, and she's watched Formula One for her entire life. Okay. Michael, we've reached our final destination. We're close to the checkered flag, to get it metaphorical here. Today, you're going to make your choice for the team and driver you want to support.
Yeah.
But before we do that,
we're
going to watch a race together.
From iHeartRadio and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is...
Choosing Sides. F1.
Wow.
Hey, everyone. Producer Yochai here. So, as you may have guessed, this episode is going to go a little bit differently than our traditional format.
And for the love of all that is holy... if this is your first time listening, go back to the beginning. This is not the episode to start with.
No.
That said, Yochai, how is this episode going to be different?
So for one thing, we want to share with you moments from Michael and Lily's time watching the 2022 Spanish Grand Prix.
Part of the reason we chose the Spanish Grand Prix is that we were looking for a great beginner race that wasn't such a big outlier that it'd be hard for Michael to understand what's going on or why certain things matter. Plus, I really wanted to showcase a race that had some of the dynamics and other issues that we talked about this season, like the whole team orders idea that Michael really hated, Ferrari strategic and reliability issues, and a lot more.
Yeah, so I'll be popping in here and there just to make sure that you've got context. And then later on, we'll get back to Michael's choices. So on that note... Off to the race.
Bang, they're off.
Holy shit.
There we go.
I mean, right out of the gate, there's people trying to make moves. That's very interesting.
Okay. Oh, God. The start is always so chaotic. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Already a touch. Okay.
This is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Lap one. Charles Leclerc of Ferrari, starting from a very promising pole position, keeps the lead ahead of Max Verstappen. Further down the grid, cars are still jostling for position.
How do the cars not all just run into each other there like they usually do?
They do sometimes.
Oh,
oh, God! Oh, God!
Haas, bye!
Oh, it's K-Mag. That was Kevin Magnussen.
It was?
With Lewis, yeah. Oh, my God.
Still in the first lap, further down the field, Lewis Hamilton and Kevin Magnussen collide. Magnussen spins out into the gravel, and Hamilton struggles to the pit with a punctured tire.
Lewis Hamilton does have damage to that car and drops down through the field, Julian.
So that was already chaotic.
And will somebody, like, review that to see if any shady shit went down?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
I'll save this engine, guys, if I was you. Sorry.
Did Lewis just say, like, wrap it up?
Yeah, basically. And they're like, what? Don't do that. Yeah.
Lewis, we still think we can achieve points here today. So P8 may be better.
Is he kind of a whiny bitch sometimes?
He can be a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
That was Carlos. Oh.
Carlos Sainz?
Lap 7. Ferrari driver Carlos Sainz Jr. spins out and drops down the field.
Uh-oh. Carlos, what? In the gravel!
And just like that, Carlos's race prospects seem to vanish. Lap 12. Red Bull orders Checo Perez to let his teammate Max Verstappen through. Max is now in a battle with George Russell of Mercedes for second place.
Get me Max out of the way so I overtake quickly.
But with Max suffering from a mechanical issue, Checo asks to overtake Max to try to get the lead.
Oh, yeah, so this is drama. Perez is saying...
Get me Max out of the way so I can overtake quickly.
Yeah, so he's saying, hey, I'm going to be faster, let me in. So this is going to be the issue. You see what we're talking about?
Yes,
the issue with the number one,
Checo,
number two. Yeah.
Father of three.
Why don't you let me by? I have very fresh tires. I can get by quickly.
So Checo just checked in with his team and said, get Max out of the way.
Yeah, he's like, I can overtake quickly.
He wants the fucking podium.
Mr. Pope in the car, please.
Checo's request is denied, and Max makes his move to overtake George Russell.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh, oh! But George said
oh
no.
My God.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
This is like me on the 405 trying to get to my audition.
Lap 24. Russell in his Mercedes continues fending off Max Verstappen's Red Bull. Meanwhile, Leclerc in a Ferrari, having started from pole, is comfortably in control of the race.
We haven't even mentioned Charles Leclerc at this point. He's just in first, just having an espresso, just
vibing
doing
in first. Yeah. Yeah, it works to his advantage that George is kind of holding up the Red Bulls
for, sure.
for now.
No,
yeah.
No, no, no! What happened? What happened? Lost power.
Lap 27. Leclerc's Ferrari power unit gives out.
What the fuck happened to Charles Leclerc? I just was saying.
Is he out?
He's dropping.
That is depressing.
Leclerc rolls to a stop, and he ends up having to retire the car. This leaves Russell and Max to battle for pole position for several laps. Meanwhile, Michael and Lily turn their attention lower on the grid.
So I was really excited to watch the Alfa Romeo car, which
yes.
we haven't seen a lot of yet, right?
Yeah, it's been...
Is that Valtteri?
Yeah, so Valtteri... is in it. Joe, so the
is
rookies. Yeah, so Valtteri is in P5 right
P5,
now.
P5, yeah, okay.
And then Joe is in P15, and Joe is the only rookie, so he's a little bit further down.
As if by dark magic, as soon as Lily and Costa start talking about Zhou Guan Yu...
So Joe, I'm afraid we have a technical issue. Slow down at boxes left.
Oh, no.
I'm guessing it was also an engine issue or some sort of car issue, because that was so sudden.
The Ferrari engine in his Alfa Romeo starts sputtering, taking him out of the race.
Poor guy. I like Joe.
They don't spend a lot of time on Joe.
No. They're like, he's
like,
out.
See you
all
later,
right,
bye.
Yeah. Like, poor guy. He was running somewhere in the back.
Lap 30. Daniel Ricciardo, the always positive Aussie driver, is experiencing a race he will prefer to forget.
Kind of surprised that Daniel Ricciardo, who gets so much attention media-wise, is racing at 13.
Yeah, and
it's also
Orlando,
the only race I've ever watched my whole life. But.
And Lando, who's sick... I mean, he's pitting and he's still in P10 in the pit. Yeah. So he's probably going to end up a little bit higher once all these other guys pit.
Lap 31. With Max Verstappen having pitted, his teammate Checo Perez finally manages to overtake George Russell of Mercedes for the lead.
Oh! There's Checo. He just passed George. So he's in first now.
Holy shit.
Meanwhile, Lewis Hamilton and Carlos Sainz both are slogging their way up through the midfield after having suffered horrible setbacks at the beginning of the race.
Lewis Hamilton is absolutely loving it. 6.4 seconds now behind Carlos Sainz, gaining and gaining.
They're now in P7 and P8, comfortably within the points.
To watch somebody creep up from...
Yeah. P19, he's in P8.
Right.
So it's just a question.
And he literally said, do you want to save the engine?
Meanwhile,
I can't believe how much more comfortable I am watching this than just an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I kind of get...
Getting the rhythm of it.
Yeah, and I'm kind of understanding what that is. And
it's very overwhelming at first.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stimulation. Yeah.
Lap 49. Checo Perez is now leading the race, but then gets instructions to let Max Verstappen through, handing his teammate the lead.
Oh, I don't like Max Verstappen. I mean, he's an excellent driver, but come on, dude. This is just being served up to him on a freaking pedestal. It's outrageous to me.
Verstappen will remain unchallenged for the rest of the race.
Another interesting fun fact. So Max is using the number one because he's the world champion. Lewis opted to never use the number one
I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Max won it, but it was controversial how he won it, and he took it. That's fucking weak.
And he decided to start using his racing boots are now gold.
Oh, my God. This guy. You were just saving that to piss me off, weren't you? For all of these episodes, you've been saving that.
He has golden boots in the number one.
But despite Michael's hating on Verstappen, it is a Red Bull 1-2 finish with Checo Perez in second and George Russell in third. As Max parks his car and jumps out to celebrate with his team, Michael gets his first glimpse of the golden boots.
Oh, there they are. You can see him.
Get those fucking boots off of your feet.
Following a brief yoga session to gently lower their heart rates, Lily and Michael convene at the studio to debrief.
So, Michael.
Lily.
I know your biggest thing that you were very disappointed in was was Red Bull's team orders for basically, you got to see it in action, Sergio Checo Perez.
Yeah.
Was told to let Max through and basically told to race his entire race around Max's racing strategy.
Yeah. It just goes against all competitive spirit. You know, I mean, I said the favorite thing that I liked about it was that you start here, you finish here, who does it fastest? And you're basically giving one of your athlete orders to let him through.
Okay, let Max through into turn one. Let Max through into turn one.
And guess what he does?
Copy. I leave him behind.
Pulls over and lets him through, even though he says it's unfair.
That's very unfair.
But okay, it's like, that's what my daughter says to me when I'm like, it's bedtime, you know? And she's like, well, that's unfair. But, you know, you have to be compliant. You have to be compliant. So I don't like that. I think that's a weakness. I told Yohai, if I was the team principal, I would say, hey, Checo, I'll give you $250,000 bonus if you can keep Max off. And I would say, hey, Max, I'll give you $250,000 if you can pass Checo. Let's see that competitive spirit.
It would have been nice to have seen them actually have a little ding-dong, have a little fight, but...
They could have raced it out. They could have raced it out today.
Even the commentators said, let's let them have a little ding-dong.
Well done, Checo. Thank you for that drive today. It was a very, very strong drive again for you. So thank you for playing the team game as well. Well done.
Yep. No worries. We'll speak later, mate.
If you're Checo Perez, it might not wear you down this time. It might not wear you down next time. But you are not going to submit yourself to this over and over and over again.
Is there anything else that was unexpected or surprising to you actually getting to watch the sport after hearing about it?
Tires. Holy shit.
Yeah.
They talk about the tires a lot.
they love them a tire.
Yeah. I mean, it must be very, very important. I was very surprised at how much tire talk there is. I was very surprised that Ferrari's car just stopped working all of a sudden.
That sucks for Leclerc.
That'd be like if in a different sport, if like I have to drop out of the baseball game, my bat is broken. It's very odd that you can just be out of the match race because the equipment is toast. But that sucks. But that's interesting. You know, the teammate
component was clear to me before the race, but in the race, you really see how that has a lot of layers, especially when like Lewis was trying to pass. Was it your boy?
It was Valtteri. Yeah.
But Valtteri, and they have such a history of being a teammate and now they're competitive. It's like just so much more interesting to know that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the commentators said like Valtteri not letting Lewis past him like he's done for so many years previous. I was like, well, that's really interesting to see that, because I could see how if you leave a team now, you're like, I'm tired of laying up for that guy. I'm going to try to beat him. So that's all very interesting.
And you loved the pit stops. You were a big fan of the
very
pit stops.
Very cool.
Got a pit stop from Red Bull.
I hate how fast he goes into the pit.
So that's Checo, and he's already off.
Holy
we'll get
shit.
2.8 seconds.
That is fast. I mean, it's like, don't look at your phone. It's over. 2.6 seconds? Someone came in at 1.9.
Yeah.
Are they really doing anything? What if they're just stopping and then going?
Kind of just whizzing.
Well, we did the pit stop. So, yeah, it's fast. Fast. That's a fast, fast sport. You've watched a million races and you know all the history of all this. I mean, what of this race was interesting to you?
So one of the things that still amazes me after watching so many F1 races is what team chatter on the radio they choose to show us as fans and the audience.
Right. That's it. That is really fascinating.
Yeah. They're selective with what they play. So the fact that they played Lewis wanting to quit a couple minutes in.
That was one of the more fascinating sporting observations that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In every sport, of all the sport I've watched. You basically have the greatest driver of all time saying, let's quit and save the car. As someone who's never watched the sport, here's the 7 world time champion. He's in 19th place and he goes, hey, let's just save the car. That was very funny. And then the guy on the radio has to go like, it's okay, we're going to keep racing. You can do it. It's just, these are still boys with giant egos.
But I also find it funny that then Lewis kind of has his moment of like, okay, I guess I will charge my way up the grid and almost make the podium.
I guess I'll be absolutely world class now.
Good lad. Good lad. So that's P4, mate.
Lewis, that was an amazing race. Amazing race. You were the quickest car out there. Probably best race time. Would have gone for the win. So amazing.
I remember back when we started this, I asked you what you knew about Formula One, and you said, I think there's a Michael guy from the 90s who was a big deal.
Yeah.
So what do you think of F1 overall now?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
You can talk all day long, but seeing it is visually outrageous.
Yeah.
It is such a beauty of machine and man and data. Lots of data.
Yeah. The drivers themselves, the placements of who's moving or beating who.
Yeah.
You've got how far back they are from the car in front of them. You've got sometimes
fastest lap.
Yeah, the fastest lap.
It was hard to not keep looking at it. It's just visually so stunning. And because there's no stoppages of play, you don't blink because you're going to miss something. I thought it was really, really fun. And you're probably going to get me to watch it now. Even after this, even after I'm out of your life, Lily. And that's a dark, that's
damn.
Dark.
Damn, that dark really went downhill very quickly.
Thank you for guiding me through it.
Yeah.
Thank you for being my power unit. Is that weird? I don't know.
I could be your, I'm your race engineer.
You're my race engineer. Yeah. That's a much better term.
Lily, we got a box.
We will, in fact, be right back after the break.
Yeah.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Before we get to your favorite and you make the final selection,
sure.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, when it comes to drivers, who are your bottom three drivers where you're just straight up like, and unfortunately, I will say Max, you know, our me and Yohai's boss, as well as Yohai, have decided Nicholas Latifi cannot be in this mix.
Because we were too hard on him.
Yep. Who are your bottom three?
Okay. Well, one of them is unfair. Because he had a terrible race, not his fault. But the rookie, goodbye.
Joe Guanyu is out.
I'm not saying there isn't a time for him at some point. It's not right now. Okay.
It's not with you either.
It's not. And it's not. It's not with Michael Costa. You know who the second one is. I don't think Lance Stroll has it. I think he's a paid driver. Goodbye. This one might surprise you.
Ooh. Okay.
Are you ready for my third bottom? It's Daniel Ricciardo. I know, because there's so much hype and so much media attention and so much thirst trap, but it looked like he sucked, which I'm not saying he did suck, but this, you know, I wanted more from him from a performance standpoint. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this is the one race I've watched my entire life, so I have no idea. He's never won a constructor's cup. Wait.
He actually has placed on the podium for the Drivers' Championship. He got third once or twice.
You know what doesn't help me either? When he was on The Daily Show, the introduction – by the way, everyone at The Daily Show loves him, said he was the nicest guy ever. but his introduction was one of the most well-liked racers in Formula One. I'm like, is it a liking competition? No, it's a racing competition.
Interestingly, yeah. A bit of an update for you since we recorded our McLaren episode. Daniel Ricciardo is out at McLaren a year earlier than his contract was slated to end at the end of next season.
I knew it. I saw it coming. He's going to be living off grid.
That's why we pay you the big bucks, Michael.
not fair, Daniel, but I've got to go with Joe, goodbye. Lance Stroll, goodbye. Daniel Ricciardo, good on you, mate. How's that?
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. That was a plot
fired?
Twist. Yeah, no.
Shots fired? Okay.
Interesting.
It's not fair. None of these choices are fair. We're not talking about fair. We're just talking about my initial interpretation. And that is something that you've got to put in the Max camp. Doesn't seem to give a shit what people think about him. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to go for the popularity contest. I'm going to win. And he does also because he's got everything handed to him. But yeah, sorry, Daniel. You seem like a nice guy, but bye-bye.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And okay, so of the drivers, is there anyone that you would like to see be a world champion in the future who has not yet won a world championship? Mm.
I was surprised that I liked Carlos Sainz as much as I did.
Yeah.
I didn't really think I would even have a reaction to him. Helps that he's driving the awesome Ferrari car, but and it helps that it was his home country. But I was like, oh, I keep kind of like My eyes keep going over there.
He sneaks up on you. I will say he did for me too. Again, I was kind of like, meh, okay, good for Carlos. And then I slowly over time was like, you know?
Yeah.
He's a fun guy. Everyone seems to really like him. He's really interesting to watch drive. And he does, I mean, he did have that spin out and I thought he was going to be out.
That's right.
He was yelling to his team.
No, damage, check the tires, check the tires.
He was saying, check the tires. And I literally turned to Lily and I'm like, does that mean get out of the car and look at the tires? And she's like, no, they do that like electronically. Oh, okay. I had no idea.
And then just based on, like what we've talked about this season, all the teams, all the drivers, and just glimpses of what we saw watching this race, who is the driver that you'd be most likely to want to like get a, do that shoey? Remember we talked about Daniel Ricciardo with the champagne in the boot?
Mm-hmm.
Like basically who would you feel like you would vibe best with? If you just had to pick a fave based on vibes or aesthetic or personality.
Mm. I have my initial instinct was immediate. Checo.
Yeah.
The immediate's Checo because I feel like this guy is an excellent, excellent driver who has been all over the place. They cut to one of a Latin fan and she was going nuts. And you're like, Checo has these like super passionate fans. And I'm like, ooh, who? I want to know more about this guy. Like that he was just told to lay up, but yet it's all fascinating to me. I love that he's a dad. You know that. I say it all the time. Just had his third kid. I think there's something so humbling about being a parent, something so where you're not the most important person in the world when you're a parent. And yet this profession of race car, all it is be number one. I mean, shit, if Checo Perez lays up for Max and then goes home and his wife's like, today's your laundry day, you better do it. That's got to hurt. You know, that's got to hurt.
And then before we get to your favorites and we pick the favorites.
Yeah.
So out of the team principals we've talked about this season, is there any that you wish could have coached you during your tennis career? If you had to have like that archetype.
Mm. So I liked when Charles of Ferrari was out of the race and he kind of walked up to the team principal, Mattia.
Benotto, yeah.
And they kind of had like a secret whisper into each other's ears. And I was kind of like, ooh, I wonder what engineering sweet nothings did he whisper in his ear? You know, who knows? And you could kind of get the sense that that team principal is not an old school, we fucked up and this is on us. You know, he's more like there was more nuance and more subtlety to it. And I always would have appreciated a coach who was a little more tactical, a little more less like eye of the tiger, you know, a little more like this is a nuanced sport. We got to find our openings. That's just my sense of how he is. The fact that he looks like Waldo probably helps that.
Yes.
So that's my initial impression on that.
And is there any team principal that you feel like you would have wanted to avoid as an athlete?
I feel like Red Bull entire team, it just all feels tied up in nefarious underbelly evilness. It irks me. He irks me. Even though I like AlphaTauri. So what the fuck does that mean?
You know, you're not alone in,
right.
I will say
that. Am I being cliche?
Not necessarily, because I think Red Bull can be a very polarizing team. Like even, I've been to like race meetups before where they are just like die hard Red Bull people who like think, Christian, he just tells it like it is. Mm-hmm. You hear that with Helmut Marko too.
It might be like a sureness, like a confidence that's almost so high. It's like, just tone it down a sec.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always responded to with Ferrari. It felt confident, but a little more like sophisticated.
Yeah. So the time has come.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent an entire season of a podcast leading you to this moment.
This has been 3 years of my life.
Exactly. And we are going to first have you choose your favorite team and then your favorite driver. But how we're going to do that is almost like a podium.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
For the teams, who is your third place? Your, what is that, the second runner-up?
I need a second.
Yeah, take
I
your
need
time.
A second. I need a second. This is big. This is big.
We're all on the edge of our seats. It's 10 teams, so a third of the teams here.
Man, did Williams disappoint. You know, I mean, I was just so wanting them to be good. Deep breath, deep breath, deep breath, deep breath. Okay.
Okay.
I think I'm ready. My third team, which means the team that I would be cheering for the third, if you understand how numbers work, it's Mercedes.
Mm.
Yeah. Third.
What?
I know. I'm surprised at this too. When you first introduced me to Mercedes, I was like, no chance.
Yeah.
But watching their action, their team, I was impressed. Hate their car color, but they got their shit together. That you can just tell. It's just a well-oiled machine, as you would expect. And the professionalism of their racing team and drivers permeates.
There we go. And is there a reason why they're third from the top instead of the top?
Probably their car color. The dumbest reason ever. I just don't like the color. I don't feel anything visceral when I see it, their car.
That's fair. Okay. So who is second place or first loser, as they would say?
Number two, for me, this was a tricky one, but I'm going to go with my gut and I'm going to say AlphaTauri.
A Red Bull affiliated team. How big of you?
Well, that's kind of why I like them.
Okay.
Because I don't like Red Bull. All the attention goes to Max and Checo. Every time they beat Red Bull or every time, you know, Pierre has a good race, it's kind of like a F you to Red Bull a little bit. I like that.
An interesting, almost inverse reason to like them.
I do like Pierre. I think it's a fun duo. They don't seem to hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the youngest in my family. Four kids, John, Christy, Todd, Michael. You don't think every time I have some small level of success, I don't call all my siblings and say, take that. That's for having me sit in the car seat, waiting while everyone else gets ready. I don't even know where we're going as a family, but I'm already strapped in. And that's why I'm passionate about them. AlphaTauri has this young brother feeling, vibe.
Mm, the energy.
You know, oh, look, it's little Red Bull's brothers here. You know, that type. Everybody called me, oh, it's Costa's brother. Me, even though I am Costa. Right. But they were thinking of my older brother. So it's like I like rooting for the younger brother, the youngest sibling, you know?
Yeah.
I love when the little guy gets in there. So that's my number two. And you know what my number one is.
You know what? Part of me almost wishes you're going to come in here and be like Alpine. But I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So who is your number one after this long journey we have been on?
It goes back to where we started and it goes back to where Michael started in his bedroom. As a young boy, looking up at the wall because mom made me go to bed and I would envision this beautiful speed demon of a machine, which was some kind of Ferrari poster on the wall that my brother Todd probably got somewhere. And it's just always, in my mind, has always been the epitome of cool, fast, and foreign, you know, like non-American. That's Ferrari. So I'm a sucker for it. They got me. And testament to their long-term branding, they're not changing names every 2 years. And I like their drivers a lot. Their drivers are freaking awesome. I don't know what happened to their car this time. I was really disappointed in that. But I just think it is very, very pleasing on the eye. So are their drivers, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, come on, Lily.
I have a lot of questions. You know, we have seen Ferrari go from first race, this excitement that they're going to be a championship contender. Mm-hmm. This is their time. Mm-hmm. They are back in business. Mm-hmm. With the Spanish Grand Prix, we start to see those reliability issues really come through. And then the rest of the season, we've had, you know, we have at one point an engine being on fire on the side of a track. We've got the team at a pit stop literally forgetting a tire for a driver. We've got endless strategic calls that people don't understand. So why, after kind of the mess that Ferrari's 2022 season has turned into, are you rooting for this team?
It's just, it's inside of me. You know, Ferrari is inside of me. I feel them. I am attached to them emotionally. Why did their engine explode? Because they run it so goddamn fast. Why did they forget a tire? Because they burn through so many because they're going so fast. Why did the other bad thing happen? I don't know the logical answer, but I know that I laid in my bunk bed looking up at a Ferrari poster.
This core memory from your childhood is so ingrained.
And I'm aware that it's childish, but all I can be is me. All I can be is me, Sports Illustrated, iHeartMedia, Yohai, Lily, Rob.
That's all I can be is me. And I like Ferrari. I like the consonants in their word. I like the F. It looks fast to me. I like their colors. I like the poster. It somehow makes me think of my brother as well. You know, boom, that's Ferrari.
I'm a fan now. I know.
Wow. Much like F1, we need a brief pit stop. We'll be right back after the break.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
So before we get to your top three, Michael, which we're all waiting with bated breath to hear, let's kick it over to the booth and hear what Yochai and Rob think after all of this time of having to listen to us.
Do we have to?
Wow, Michael. That was hurtful. After all we've been through?
Fuck you, Yochai.
I just wanted to share one thing.
Mm-hmm.
This actually has changed my thinking. And now, like, I have a clear favorite driver in Esteban Ocon.
Really?
I think, yeah. I mean, first of all, he's given up the most to be on the grid. His parents literally were like, we're going to sell the house and live in a trailer so that we can fund your career. And imagine racing with that on your weight. Like, if you don't win this F2 or F3 race now, like, all of the past 3 years, all of the money we've put into it, it's all down the drain, and you're going to go back to being a mechanic with your dad.
Yeah.
And then he wins the race.
That's true.
So he knows what pressure is in a much deeper level than any of these guys. And I think nobody's really noticing him, but he keeps being in the points. He never crashes. He's very rarely crashes or makes mistakes that bring him out. And at the end of the day, I think he's going to be a world champion one day.
Okay.
Let it be known, Rob is like cheering over here.
Well, because I felt that. He just said it. He said what I felt.
I love this Esteban love. Ooh, this has turned into a very fun finale.
Someone asked Lee Trevino, the golfer, like how he stays so cool under pressure with these putts for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he said, that's not hard. What's hard is making a $30 putt when all you have is $5 in your pocket. And that is like Yochai's take on Esteban Ocon. There's more pressure, not because of the money and the stakes, but because of what's been given up for him and his family to be successful.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, so it's time.
The driver.
Who is your third place driver?
I'm going to tell you right now who didn't make it.
Okay.
Checo. Checo is not in my top three. Something about this race and the whole Red Bull thing is really irking me.
You're going to have to talk to him later.
Checo made a deal with the devil.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's his, he knew it, he signed it, and that's his deal.
The major bed, you got to lie in it.
It would be interesting for Checo to write a memoir. Let's put it that way. My third most liked driver is Lewis Hamilton.
What?
I know. Oh, I know he's the greatest driver of all time, blah, blah, blah. I just thought it showed a lot of grit, even though he's the greatest driver, makes the most money, has the best car. He was in P19. Someone crashed into him, and he bitched about it for a second, and then I thought climbed all the way up to the front. Thought that was really – that's the kind of athlete I would want to coach. My second driver is
– I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
I am stupid. I am stupid. Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc. How did I say his name? Beautifully?
Fine enough, yes.
I just am drawn to him. He has a self-awareness that I appreciate that almost seems contradictory to the ego required to drive such a rocket ship. Saying I am stupid wins me over. I'm a sucker for any self-deprecation. He just seems like he has a good head on his shoulders, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm rooting for that, and I like him. And maybe, is he handsome? Yeah, he's handsome. And maybe sometimes when I look in the mirror, I kind of envision a Charles Leclerc there getting ready to do comedy, you know?
You looked into those deep, deep eyes and you see a little bit of Michael Costa in Charles Leclerc.
You know, even though he would only probably his head would make it up to my hips.
Michael Costa's number one driver at this point. I'm looking at the sheet just to throw Lily off. I just like the class, the confidence, and I believe the composure and the non-arrogance, George Russell.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like George Russell.
Both Mercedes drivers.
Fucking
in the top
Mercedes,
three.
Who I said I was going to hate.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is, okay, well, first of all, say more about George. Yes, you like that George, you like George as a, you've always liked George as a person.
I like that he went up to the team principal when he was nine or whatever. And
he was a teenager, but yes, still
okay,
very
whatever,
young.
Sure, let's say nine. He's been passionate about wanting to race. I think he has probably been overlooked in some capacity, and maybe they sent him off to that little junior camp that was Williams. I just like his path. And I just responded to it.
Yeah. You're also watching him at a fun time, too. Yeah, with the new team.
And he's doing great right now, right?
Or is, you know what it is? He's like out driving a car that obviously Lewis Hamilton is struggling with a little bit.
Well, that's also the thing I liked about the today that I didn't think about previously was, and you brought it up, was he's outperforming Lewis Hamilton, the greatest. And he's just doing it quietly and succinctly and... And it's pretty badass.
George Russell.
So I have two fucking Mercedes drivers. God damn it. I'm mad at myself now.
So something that's been really interesting about this podcast season, and I guess by extension, this has come up when I've talked to listeners about how this has gone. You know, people have a lot of opinions on your various choices or your takes as we've gone through all these teams and drivers. Is I've really learned just how subjective the concept of fandom is. Mm-hmm. So there are a few bad reasons to dislike a team or a driver or just anyone. But on the flip side, I actually think that there are a lot of legitimate reasons to root for a driver or team.
To second your thoughts, I'm surprised at how subjective my own opinions have been as well. So let's talk about colors for a second. I follow closely tennis. I don't even know what color anyone ever has or wears or what color their racket is or whatever, because I guess I just know the players so deeply that I'm above the color thing. But when it comes to this sport, I realize it's very elementary. It was interesting to see that that's still kind of what drew me in, was certain colors.
Well, hilariously enough, while I don't really care about car color or whatnot. Yeah. When I first started getting into Formula One, I was actually really intrigued by Red Bull because I drank a lot of vodka Red Bulls in college.
There we
go. So I felt they weren't even good, but I felt a connection. I said, you know, this is your core childhood memory that was unlocked was the Ferrari poster. Mine was the amount of time I spent probably over a toilet bowl as a freshman in college, thanks to vodka Red Bull.
Well, the term branding gets thrown around a lot for a lot of different things, but really, when you brand into our brain, when you brand into our emotional cortex, it sticks around.
And to be quite frank, you know, we had a whole episode where I waxed poetic about my man, underrated king Valtteri Bottas. Yeah. I did not always feel that way about Valtteri Bottas until I looked up his girlfriend and then got intrigued by their whole dynamic and how much they really seem to enjoy their time together.
We are complex, layered, contradictory beings, but also we're pretty simple.
I was going to say we're pretty shallow. Yeah. Like, his girlfriend is cool. Like, they seem nice. That drink was what I had a lot on weekends 10 years ago.
So how do you suggest, like, wrapping this thing up? Like a goodbye. How do we say goodbye?
Do we have to say goodbye? That feels so definitive. You know, I have a lot of questions. We didn't even talk about pit stops. I have more I want to know about this intersection of sport and technology. We could get into fans. Mm-hmm. We could get into how the hell they travel. How do they travel? It's not like they're going from Kansas City to St. Louis. They're crossing oceans.
Continents, yeah.
Tires. We could do a whole season on tires, Lily. Wives, hello.
Yeah, the WAGs.
The WAGs, which is short for wives
and girlfriends.
And girlfriends.
Something you'd learned on this podcast.
Contracts.
Well, I know you loved silly season.
Silly
season. We could do an entire season of silly seasons.
Yeah.
Plural.
You know what, Lily? Let's not cry because it's over. Let's smile because it happened. Hey, listeners, if you haven't checked out the sport, you should. Because I didn't know anything about it, and it's very intriguing and interesting. And thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm Michael Costa, along with
Lily Herman,
Yochai Meital,
Robert John O'Leary II, Max Miller.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
This has been the first season of Choosing Sides, F1. A production of Sports Illustrated Studios and iHeartRadio. This episode was produced by Lily Herman and our senior producer, Yochai Meital, who also did the sound design. At the Cutting Room Studios, we are recorded by engineer Rob O'Leary II. Mastering by Cello Weisblum. Max Miller is the supervising and executive producer. And Brandon Getchess is head of audio at SI Studios. At iHeartRadio, Sean Titone is our executive producer. Extra special thanks go to David McLeod of the Cutting Room Studios, Paula Keller, Lori Denning, Zev Levy, Federica Sazzo, and Queen Daphna Barraquette. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to rate us and tell your friends. It'll mean a lot.
I think for me, if my input is given, my top driver would have to be Charles, because I think he's a winner and he's young. Ocon will definitely be in there, and I think in the future, there's a lot there, and it could go either way. It could fall off or it could go well. And then I feel like I have to pick a legend too. So out of all like the OGs of the sport right now, I think I like Vettel.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming! And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.